Welcome to the only podcast for piano teachers just starting out, Piano Teacher Primer. My name is Angela Toon. Keep listening for the prime pro tips you can use with your own students right away. Hi, welcome back to the Piano Teacher Primer podcast. My name's Angela Toon. This is episode 63, By Heart, Teaching Memorization. Tell me if you or your students have ever been in one of these worst case scenarios. Have you ever or your students walked up to the performance, nervous, shaking, sweating, breathing, sit down, shaking, cannot remember the first notes? Oh my goodness, what do you do now? Or maybe you were able to start, but you get through the piece, and then something happens, a little mistake happens, and you are stuck and you cannot finish. I have had this happen to me. It's a bit traumatic, isn't it? Or maybe you don't, maybe you're able to finish, but maybe there was a big spot of time where you had to figure out where you were. Those awkward silences, they are just horrible, right? Or have you ever had this happen where you're going through and then you forget for a second and you go back and then you forget in the same spot and you go back and back and back, and by the time you've repeated your part five times, I did finally make it through, but I've had this happen to me and it was so embarrassing. And just the feelings like come back even though those were years and years ago. And maybe my experiences have helped me to prepare my students to not have those experiences themselves. So what I'm going to teach you today is going to avoid those worst case scenarios. We are going to prepare them, and obviously they have to practice them in. We cannot do it all for them. They are going to have to do the work, but we will prepare them the best we can for their performances. Before we move on, I am going to be teaching an in-depth class on this, a master class of mastery of memorization. And it is next week, next Thursday, March 21st. Oh my goodness. So I hope you listen to this in time to jump on our Zoom call. And there will be info on that on angelatoon.com. And it'll just be a one-hour class. And then the very next week I'm teaching another class called Performance Without Anxiety, because these two things go together. If you have solid memorization, you're a more confident performer, but then there's things beyond that that can help you to perform without the anxiety crippling you and making you mess up. I just had Federation Festival, solo festival with my students. I'm so proud of each of them. Part of the rules of the National Federation of Music Clubs Festival is they play two pieces memorized, and they play them not just for a recital, but they play them for a score. So it's a little bit more pressure than a recital, but not so much pressure as a competition where there are winners and losers. So the top score, you know, is stylistically correct, accurate, and attention to details and things like that. And that's 5 points, and then they earn gold cups and trophies and things. And then if they cannot get through their pieces memorized, it is a zero. So the memorization is top of mind for me at this time, but I've been thinking for a long time that I wanted to teach you about how to teach memorization. And I've had some students come into my studio who have never memorized a piece before. And I know for myself, I grew up like memorization was super easy. If I could play the piece well, I could pretty much play it memorized and just fill in a couple of gaps. But now as an adult, memorization is a lot harder. My brain is full of adult things, and maybe I'm not having as much practice time as I did when I was a kid. I'm more tied to the music. I'm a better sight reader now. So I'm going to recommend that you pause this episode and listen to episode 41 of the Piano Teacher Primer podcast. And it is about teaching how they learn three sensory modes. So I go into detail on visual learners, kinesthetic learners, and auditory learners. I don't think in that order, but you get the idea. And I go into detail on what those all mean and what it means for teaching them piano and how I adjust my lessons and my teaching for the different learning styles, okay? But in this episode, I'm going to focus on memorization teaching, how they learn, okay? So, okay, you're back from listening to episode 41. Onward with that. So today, okay, the three sensory modes. I'm going to talk today first about visual learners. Visual learners are often quite good at sight reading their music. They are often quite good at learning the notes because they are looking at the music. And so they're often difficult to memorize. Like memorizing can be hard for some visual learners. And they're so tied to the music. These are the kids that you take the music away and they don't even know where to start. So I'm going to go into the challenges for each mode and then also some solutions for each mode. And then in the masterclass next week, I'm going to go into like the assignments that I give, the how-to in the lesson things that I do with them to help. So this is just kind of a quick overview. And then if you want a longer 1 hour masterclass, that is next week. Okay, so visual learners, yes, they are often tied to the music. However, visual learners also are pretty good at seeing the patterns on the keys as well, because it's a visual thing to find the chords, for example. They can find the patterns. Oh, this matches this, that matches that. But it's almost like they have to learn it again on their hands. So as a visual learner is starting to memorize, I start to point out some patterns in their hands. Oh, this is black, white, white. This is white, black, black. Oh, look, this is the same chord in a different inversion. So I start bringing their visual to their hands and leaving the music a little bit. However, there's another thing with visual learners. Some of them are even almost like photographic memory. So sometimes they can remember things on the page. So I will use colors to show things that are same and different. And I will use symbols or, you know, put a heart on this part and a heart on this part. And so something that they can visualize while they're playing memorized, oh, I'm at the top of the second page right now. And then as they're learning to memorize and I'm holding the music and they're trying it memorized and they're playing it for me, I can call out some of those visual things. Oh, this is the blue part. Remember, this is the heart. Remember, this is top of the second page. Oh, we're at the end now. This is a different ending. Do you remember that? And that helps them to have a context. And so as I call out these little hints, then they can hint to themselves as they go. They can picture sometimes even just what the chord looks like on the page. They can picture that and then they'll be able to continue. And by the way, at the end of the episode, I'll have a few suggestions for all learners. Okay, kinesthetic learners are often pretty good memorizers because they have a good muscle memory. They can close the music and their fingers still know what to do because they've practiced it in and their muscle memory is going to put that out again. And I often wonder too if the kinesthetic learners, if auditory is often their second strongest mode. Anyway, just a curiosity thing there, but the challenge for the kinesthetic learners, well, we know they sometimes have a hard time learning it in the first place. And connect, you know, having the focus to look at the notes and to find the patterns that they're going to be playing. But some of these kinesthetic learners are really bright, and piano can actually be so good for them because they're using their fingers. They are moving. Yes, they're sitting, but they are moving. One of my kids would actually practice the piano with a soccer ball at his feet. This is before he was using the pedal, and he loved piano, actually. It was a really good outlet for his energetic body, in addition to soccer and getting his energy out of his legs that way. So he got his energy out of his fingers with piano, and he got his energy out of his legs with soccer. It was a good combination, I'm telling you. So the challenge for kinesthetic learners, sometimes it takes them a long time to learn a piece, But once it's in there, right? But the challenge for them in playing memorized is sometimes when they get nervous, they don't rely on that muscle memory. They start to overthink and they have no idea where they are because they've really just learned it physically only, and their focus memory does not know what to do. Sometimes they even can't even start. So for kinesthetic learners, you do need to have some, I will just say it here. This is going to be helpful for all the modes, but the starting places. Okay, have you heard of starting places? I think different teachers will call this different things. So once I describe it, you'll probably be like, oh yeah, my teacher called it this. But you'll have different spots in your music where you can jump to in an emergency. Spots where you can start anytime, anywhere, and you can jump to. So for instance, it would be the beginning of the piece. It would be the very end of the piece. I like to do the very last notes so that they know those notes for sure with their focus brain. And then I like to make sure that they have the beginnings of different sections, maybe the top of a page, maybe the beginning of a development section. And then, so just some clear, like starting points, starting places is what my teacher called them. And then my teacher in high school, she made me practice some jump forwards and jump backwards. And I had to know them all over and sometimes even at random. But with my students, I just only want them to jump forward. Because what happens if you skip backward? You'll often mess up in the same spot. So if they jump a little bit ahead, hopefully just a couple of measures ahead, then they are going to be able to continue their piece. What we're trying to avoid here with all the modes is the worst case scenario. Okay, so starting places are really helpful for all students, but especially the for all students, but the kinesthetic learners are really going to need these because then they will know some things with their conscious mind because sometimes they just play unconsciously with their muscle memory. So the conscious mind knows this spot, the beginning of this part, the middle, the beginning of this part, the last line, and then the very last notes. And so they know those spots for sure. And then they will be able to continue through. Okay, and I'm going to go through in more detail on how I actually, I'll show you like how I set the starting places and how I have them practice them for the most effective results. Okay, final group are the auditory students. So the auditory learners are often pretty good memorizers. Sometimes reading the notes initially can be a challenge, but once they develop that connection of notes and keyboard, they can learn the notes more quickly and they are pretty good memorizers because they love the sound. Now, when they're, it's kind of like similar to the kinesthetic learners, when they're relaxed in their house, they are relying on the sound and they love piano and they love music because they are creating these beautiful sounds, right? And then sometimes in performance, when they get nervous, they overthink. This is me, okay? I'm an auditory learner is my primary mode. And they think, overthink, and they try to pick it apart when they're in a performance and they don't know it that way. They know it auditorily. they know the sounds. And so some suggestions for teaching memorization to auditory learners. Again, the starting places. So they know with their conscious brain a few spots and then their ear will continue through the rest of it. P.S. They hate practicing these starting places. They hate skipping to the different ones because it doesn't sound good. And they love the continuation of. So you kind of gotta, you got to sell them on it. You got to really talk to them and help them know the importance of practicing these starting places so that they have these spots that they can jump to in an emergency. And it's not just for emergencies. Having these starting places is also a reassurance when they're on stage. I know this and this and this, and I know that my ears will fill it in after that. Another thing with auditory learners is labeling certain parts. Again, I'm going to go into more detail in the masterclass, but labeling certain parts with like a character or something that it sounds like, something that it sounds like to them. So for example, I had this student who was learning this piece and she was having trouble memorizing it because what's the hardest thing? When the parts are similar, but they're a little different and then they start to mix them up. So we gave them each a character name. The most basic version at the beginning was called Sam. And then the next one was a little fancier, so we called it Samantha. And it seems like there was another one in between. I'll have to look it up. But then the final one was Sassandra. It was extra sassy and extra added trills. And I can't remember, just slightly different rhythm variation on that one. So we had Sam and Samantha, Sassandra. Oh, I can't remember that third one. Anyways, so that helped her to categorize and imagine these different characters and keep track of each one. Because that is the hardest thing. And sometimes composers, I'm like, can't we just do it the same for the kids so that it's all the same? It's tough when it is just a little bit different. Now, some suggestions for all the modes. Teach them the scales and the chords. I have master classes on how to teach those, by the way, on angelatune.com. And if you show them the scales and chords in their music, it helps with memorization. If they don't know their first notes and their last notes, they probably are unaware of what key they are in. If they know what key they're in, they can find their way around so much better. At the very least, they can guess. They can guess if it's in the key of F, it's probably going to be an F chord to end with, right? And that, and then all along the way, teaching the form of the piece, same, A1, if a part of a piece is a little bit different than the beginning. And then if your students are learning sonatas, teach them the form, have them write in their music. This is the exposition. This is the development. This is the recapitulation. Watch out. It's going to stay in the home key this time. It's not going to travel. So we have discussions about how the exposition travels to a new key. The recapitulation stays in the home key. That helps with memorization. Because then they know, oh, I don't do the F sharps on this one. It stays in C major or whatever. So teach them the form, teach you starting places. I'm just trying to think if there's anything else I want to give you for an overall teaching of memorization. My final point will be the way that I assign memorization. I don't just say, okay, go home and memorize it. And I also explain to them that it's not really memorizing every note, especially for the kinesthetic and auditory learners. Their muscle memory and or their auditory skills are going to carry them through. And they would probably not be able to write out every note in space, especially at intermediate and advanced levels. Could that be an exercise to really help them memorize and know every note? Yeah, I guess so. And all learners, it's a combination of all three. We're all using visual and kinesthetic and auditory. So I don't want you to think that I'm pigeonholing students into only using one. We all use all three. But if I lean towards that sense that is strongest for them, then they will learn more effectively and more in a way that sticks. And then I can help them because I can kind of anticipate what their challenges might be. So when I send them home to memorize a piece, I say, play with the music, look at your hands, see where you need to look up at the music. And just notice that. And then close the music, see how far you can get. And then open the music when you get stuck. And then when it gets closer and they can play through, but they might have little forgetful times and little things that they forget once in a while, I'll say sometimes open the music and figure it out. Sometimes, if you think you can, try to keep going. Okay? And then the performance class will take all of this to the next level on how to do that on stage. Wow! Fun off the cuff episode where I can just teach from my heart about playing by heart. Thank you so much for being with me. I'll see you at the master class. You can pre-sign up right now, angelatoon.com, and we will see you there. Before you go, a quick note. Your dedication to piano education is keeping the music alive. If you have found value in our conversation, please leave a rating or a review and share it with a fellow piano teacher. Together, we're changing the world, one student at a time. Until next week, play on.